Philippians chapter number 4 this evening, and we'll be looking there tonight, continuing on in our series, going, I guess it's unofficial series, going through, looking at prayer on important parts of our prayer life, reminders, and we'll look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Now, with Thanksgiving only 1 week away, we're going to be looking at something regarding giving of Thanksgiving in our prayer life. And we're still studying on prayer and looking at some reminders in our prayer life. Now, I want to ask a question. How many of you have been out shopping over the last 2 weeks? You've been out, Walmart, been at HEB, you've been somewhere. How many of you have been doing that? Well, I think most of us have. We've been out in the stores over the last couple weeks, maybe been to the mall. Now, I want to ask you a question. What is missing when you go to the store? Thanksgiving, right? We went straight from Halloween, now we're in Christmas. And you know why? Because Black Friday's coming up. I mean, I'm pretty sure in my lifetime, we're not going to have Thanksgiving Day anymore. It's just going to be Black Friday, right? And we have Cyber Monday. We have all these things. Thanksgiving is missing. I mean, if you looked really close, you saw right after Halloween or maybe right before, you saw some little turkey decorations or you saw some things for Thanksgiving. But this year, I believe, is the first year, especially at Walmart and different places, that I did not see. It went straight from Halloween to Christmas immediately. It's the first year I've actually seen that. It's been working out the last couple of years, but now it is there. Well, why? Why is it like that? And that's not my message tonight, but I think that puts something in our mind that we're missing Thanksgiving in our country. We're missing Thanksgiving, and we're missing many times Thanksgiving in our prayer life to God. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, we're going to be looking at through verse number 9 in just a couple of minutes. This is what is missing from our prayer life. And tonight, if you listen closely, there's going to be some important areas. If you ever lacked peace in your life, you're going to find peace here. If you ever have problems with anxiety or worry or whatever it is, there's a solution to that in the message here tonight and all of these things. And also, we can be a powerful testimony. All of these things are contained in one message this evening. If we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 6, going down to verse number 9, and we're going to take a look at some thoughts and some very important points from this passage tonight. And God's Word says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Dearly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for this message that you laid on my heart and you showed me, Lord, just jumped right off the page. Lord, I pray that you would jump right off the page into our hearts tonight, that it would not just be something we agree with in our mind, but something that we would also take to heart and live by, dear Lord. Oh, a key to our living here on this earth and living the Christian life we have found tonight. I pray that you'd guide us in this message. Guide my words, guide our hearts. Show us, Lord, where we can improve. Show us, Lord, where sin lies. Show us where we need encouragement. Show us where we need to have thanksgiving and trust in your sight. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Missing Thanksgiving. Tonight, are you missing Thanksgiving in your prayer life? Now, in verse number 6, we're going to start here. If you're taking notes, number 1, be thankful for everything. Amen. Be thankful for everything. It says here in verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. verse number 6 is very, very clear that we're to be thankful for everything. That every time we place a petition before God, we come before the throne of grace as we come boldly to bear our petitions in time of need, there's something that must be attached to it. That is thanksgiving, the giving of thanks, praise to God. There is such a long list of blessings that we can be thankful for in our life. We need to make mention of these blessings in our prayers. The verse tells us to be thankful for everything. And you know what? I've got some news for you tonight. I've got some new insight for you in this word everything here in verse number 6. It's the word Greek word pas. And this word, you know, it doesn't mean everything. You know what it means? It means everything always. Always. It has the idea of everything, all things, always. So what God is saying is everything, all the time, we need to be giving thanks to God. Amen? That is a recipe right here for joy in your heart. Being thankful for so many things. Well, Pastor, what can we be thankful for? Now, this is very important in when we're looking at thankfulness and thanksgiving. It has to do with two areas in your life. We're going to look at some Bible examples here in a minute. But there's two things that thankfulness hinges on. Just like every door, some doors have three hinges, but let's say we have two. A gate has two hinges, right? Hinges on two things. Number one is your perspective. Perspective. How you view things. What do you see when you look at something? You know, some people say the glass is half empty. Some say the glass is half full. It doesn't matter. It's the same glass, but their perspective is different. Now, and also, the second hinge is attitude. So perspective is how you view things. Attitude is how you think about what you see. And so that thankfulness hinges on those two things. Now, in a Bible example of this would be Jonah. Jonah had a different perspective than God did when it came to the city of Nineveh. Jonah had gone and Jonah ran from God originally. Then he was swallowed up by a great fish, spewed upon the land. And he said, Lord, I'm going to go and do what you told me to do. And he went begrudgingly. You know, God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. But he begrudgingly went and he went and he preached, thinking nothing's going to happen to this. You know, nothing's going to happen. And you know what? Revival broke out in Nineveh. The king and everyone got saved. They repented. They got rid of their sin, and they did right, and God stayed his judgment upon them. And that would be a glorious thing. I mean, what if Killeen, just all of a sudden, revival broke out in Killeen, everyone was getting saved, and the city, all the strip clubs closed, and all the bars closed, and crime became non-existent, and the police officers had to lay off police officers, and the jails began to get smaller, and the clothes even. And that would be a glorious thing, man. We'd be shouting hallelujah from now to the day we die, amen, for all of eternity. You think Jonah would do that? Oh, no, he didn't. Because his perspective was wrong. And because his perspective was wrong, it affected his attitude. He had a rotten attitude about what God did. God saved these people, but Jonah wasn't thankful that he did it. So sad. We don't know how it all turned out. Is Jonah in heaven? I believe so. We don't know what happened. The book kind of ends abruptly, but probably nothing of profit really happened after that. That's why God didn't write it down. But then you look at Paul. Paul, being the author of what we just read here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, and following are the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul was a different matter altogether. Now, Paul had been probably of people that have been in the Bible that, as a human being, besides Jesus, he went through so much. Maybe Job went through as much as Paul did. But Paul, I mean, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was imprisoned, he was stoned, all kinds of terrible things happened to him. But you see, Paul never lost his joy. Paul never seemed to lose his joy. Paul just kept going. Paul was just thankful that he was saved. Paul was thankful that he was a preacher. Paul was thankful for those he was able to influence. He was thankful even that he was able to suffer for the cause of Christ. What? That doesn't make any sense. Fleshly speaking, it doesn't. But yes, but Jonah's perspective was on himself. Therefore, his attitude was all about him. Paul, on the other hand, his perspective was heavenly. He couldn't wait till he got to heaven. He was just running the race until he got there. He said, I'd rather go to heaven, but it's needful for me to be here with you. His perspective was heavenly, was eternal, therefore to change his attitude about things. The same can happen for you. It's easy to be thankful for those things that we view as good things. You know what? We're thankful when we get a raise at work. Amen? I think we're all more money. We're thankful for that. We're thankful when we're able to purchase a new vehicle. We're thankful when people get saved. Amen? We're thankful when our kids are doing right. We're thankful for all of the good things in our life. But you know what? We label things good and bad. We categorize them. Either things are good things or bad things. Now look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. Tells us something. That in God's economy, if we're following in the will of God, all things are good. Even those things that we classify as bad. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28 tells us this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, what's it talking about here? Those who are walking with God in the will of God, and those things that happen to you, even though they may seem bad, the world classifies them as bad, the flesh classifies them as bad, God calls them good. They're for a reason. They're a good thing. How can we be thankful? Well, it's a matter of your perspective. Let me ask you a question. Let's say you're walking in the middle of the night or you're walking somewhere in your bare feet and you stub your toe on the coffee table. Man, can you say, well, how can I be thankful for a stubbed toe? Amen? How can it be thankful for a stubbed toe? You know what? And I asked my son this one question at lunch. After I prepared this message, I asked him a question. And he didn't know quite how to answer that. So, well, be thankful we have a toe to stub. Amen? A lot of people don't. Thankful you have pain. Because a lot of people, they have toes and feet, but they can't feel them. They're paralyzed. All depends on your perspective and your attitude. Amen? We can be thankful for that. Well, how about, well, Pastor, you understand, I have a broken down car. Broke down the side of it. Got a flat tire. Be thankful you have one. Do break down. Amen? A lot of people in the world don't have it. A lot of people walk places. Even America still, people walk places. Maybe even some people take the bus still. Well, how can you be thankful for taking the bus? You know, I'm just poor and I don't have the money. I don't have a vehicle. And I just take the bus. Be thankful you have a bus to take. Amen. Be thankful you have the $3 to $5 for the bus fare. Amen. Be thankful for that. Give praise. Thank you, Lord, I have this. Be thankful you're not walking. I mean, it just amazed me on Sunday morning. Brother Benda was up here and these kids walk 10 miles to church every Sunday. Isn't that amazing? They walk 10 miles to school every single day. You know, after hearing that, I feel all convicted. We have nothing to complain about in America, amen? You know how far that is? It's like walking from Copper's Cove to here every day for church and for school. And a lot of them don't have any shoes. They just walk. That'll change your attitude a little bit, amen? Because it'll change your perspective. Well, what if I have to walk places? You know, you can be thankful for. So, but guess what? I know, Pastor, that I can walk. Amen. That we have legs and feet to walk with. Be thankful for many things. It's a matter of your attitude. Choose to be thankful. Well, I'm going to be thankful for the death of a loved one. If they died in Christ, be thankful. They don't live in this wicked world anymore, but they're in heaven, and you'll see them again one day. Amen. Be thankful. As a matter of your attitude, choose to be thankful. Choose to be thankful. In America today, we live in an unthankful land. There are many still that are. I praise God for that. But we live in an unthankful land. It's about getting the next big thing. About getting the next thing. And I say this every single year. I don't go out on Black Friday because the total lack of thankfulness just disgusts me. I'm just being honest with you. It just disgusts me to see people that they're foaming at the mouth to get the deal. They're only saving $10. But hey, that's $10 they can use spending on themselves or some. And it's, well, they're buying it for other people. I understand. But you know what? If you live for Black Friday, don't be surprised that your kids end up being materialistic. Don't be surprised when your kids end up or your family ends up and that they don't care about the things of God. They'll only care about the new and shiny things in this life. That's what's going to teach them. Now, if you go out shopping on Black Friday, more power to you. I'm not saying it's a sin. I'm not saying that. But what is the purpose behind it? The day after Thanksgiving, have a bunch of sales. So we just got done being thankful. Amen. And even now, people, they bow their heads and they pray a prayer at the Thanksgiving table. And they head out the door of their shopping bag to go get the early deals. They just were thankful. You know what thankful means? Being contented with what you have. Amen. That's being thankful is. What is that going to bring, though? I said, Pastor, I need to be thankful for everything. Be thankful even for trials that come. Let's look back at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing but in everything, meaning all things always. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is an essential part of our prayer life every single day, that we're thankful for what God has given to us for today. If you wake up and you're able to pray, that's something you can thank God for. You're alive another day. You're thankful for so many other things. I encourage you, teach your kids to do this. Go down a routine and say, you know, as a family, we're going to go around and until we get to 100, or maybe if you really want to bring it home, maybe 150, 200 things, we're going to go around and we're going to find things we're thankful for until we get to 100. Guess what? You're going to realize you have a lot. All of us can get to 100 pretty quick. We realize the things that we have, that God has given, whether it's family, possessions, spiritually, amen. We can just go down that list in spiritual blessings. What are the results, though? What does that bring in our life? Look here now. Look at verse number 7 of Philippians chapter 4. So brings us to point number 2. The results of being thankful brings what? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I said, so Pastor, you're telling me that if I'm thankful and I can give consistent praise to God, I'm thankful for all things, if I have the right attitude, that is going to bring me peace. Absolutely correct. God's Word says it. That if we give thanks, many also we keep consistent in our prayer life, but if we give thanks, verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God will overflow your heart. Now, have you ever wondered why? Why is that? This verse also holds a key. Psalm 34, verse number 8. Look over there. Psalm 34, verse number 8. Why does this happen? Let's think of this for a moment. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The Lord is good. If we have lived any length of time, been saved any length of time, we know that God is a good God. When we are thankful, we're saying this. When we're truly thankful, we're saying, God, you have so wonderfully blessed me, and I don't deserve it. It's your mercy and your grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, amen. It's unmerited favor. Lord, I'm so thankful that you saved my soul. So thankful that I have this family that you've given me. I don't deserve any of it, Lord. Thank you. You have given me so much that I do not need anything else. That's true thankfulness. Contentment goes right with it, like this. I don't need anything else, Lord. I'm thankful for what I have. You have filled my cup. It is overflowing. Oh, that's not the attitude of our culture, is it? I don't have enough. Always looking for something more. Always looking for the next achievement, always looking for the next possession, always looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Guess what? You never get there. Because there will always be more to get, more to earn, more fame to get. There will always be more and more and more instead of being truly thankful, saying, Lord, you give me so much. I have all that I need. This is the wonderful peace that we need nothing else. We have all that we need physically in Christ Jesus. Amen. If we're a Christian living for God, He's going to provide our needs. He will provide our needs. We need nothing else. Amen. Well, I don't have very much. You don't need very much. Amen. We live with so much stuff in America today. So much stuff that we don't need. We want it. We don't need it. Just because the culture says, remember, we've been talking a lot about this. Just because the culture says you need to do it, you need to have it, doesn't mean you need it. You need what God says you need. Amen? And we need to be thankful for what He has provided physically. We have all that we need spiritually in Christ Jesus through His shed blood. We have peace with God. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ. We have a mansion, a home in heaven that Jesus is preparing for us even now. Amen. That's just enough to be thankful for, to be thankful from now to through eternity, just for that. Is that all that you need? We have all that we need emotionally in Christ Jesus. Oh, we have a lot less worry, a lot less anxiety if we're just thankful for what we have. Amen. If we're just thankful for what we have and stop stressing about what we don't have. Well, my kids need that. No, they don't. Put food on the table? Yes. You have clothes on their back? Yes. You have a home for them to live in? Yes. You have the things that you need? Amen. Even if we're tight financially, there's many other things that we can give to our children that don't have a price tag. Oh, memories and love are more important than gifts under a tree. Amen? Amen. This is where we're at today in America, that if we can't give our children something for Christmas, then we're some kind of terrible parent. I understand we kind of feel that way, but at the same time, there's other things you can give them that are far more valued, that never fade away, and they'll always be here in their heart and in their mind. Oh, we've gone so far away from what the Bible says. Emotions. Many times we are lived by them instead of living by the Bible. But we have all that we need in Jesus Christ. We have all that we need in knowledge in Jesus Christ and in His Word. Oh, we'll be thankful for the Bible. I don't think America is going to be truly thankful for the Bible until it's taken away from them. You're always thankful for something when you take it away. Right? You know what? I'm thankful for Whataburger because I can't eat it anymore. Amen. I have to reduce my salt. I mean, I'm going to be talking about food for a while after this diet thing. But I have to reduce my salt intake and everything. Guess what? Fast food's out for me. No more Whataburger. No more Monterey melt. No more French fries. I feel great that I don't eat those things anymore. But guess what? I was thankful for them while I could eat them. But are we thankful? Do we teach our kids to be thankful? I'm thankful my parents taught me to be thankful. They didn't buy me every shiny new thing that was around the corner. They could have, but they didn't. I'm thankful for that. These are the results. Peace. Because your mind is stayed on what God has provided. Look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 in verse number 3. Isaiah 26 in verse number 3. Here we are. First, we know well, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in what? The provision of God. Thankful for what God has provided, to keep your mind stayed upon it. Thank you, Lord. If we're in an attitude of praise and thanksgiving, you're going to have peace in your heart that you never knew you could have. That passes all understanding. You'll be thankful for everything. Even though it may seem like it's a bad thing in the flesh, we know God is a good God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And we believe Romans 8:28. We believe these verses, amen. It's in the Bible. We believe it, amen. We should. Then when those things come down, we can say, thank you, Lord, that this is happening. This is a trial. Thank you, Lord. You have a purpose in it. I can't wait to see what your purpose is. Amen. Pastor, that's really easy to say. It is. But it's true. Do it. When those things come, when we're tempted to complain, reminds me of the hymn, it will be worth it all. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. Amen? We're tempted to do that. We're tempted to. But no, we need to get down and we need to teach our children, teach our families, we're going to be thankful for what God has given. Well, how do we stay thankful, Pastor? How do we stay thankful? I understand what you're saying. We can have this peace, but how many, I mean, let's not do a raise of hands here, but we love when we have the peace of God, but you know, some things can steal our joy and steal our peace, amen. And some things is, oh, I'm not in peace anymore. How do I keep the peace, so to speak? Look back at Philippians chapter 4. I looked at verse number 7. Now we see what the result of prayer and thankfulness and letting your supplication be made known unto God, having peace that the Lord has heard you, being thankful for what God has given, and you'll have that peace. Now verse number 8, how do you keep the peace? Staying thankful. In order to preserve that attitude of thankfulness and the spirit of peace in our hearts, we must guard and protect it. So many people say that they used to have peace. Say, Pastor, only have peace for short periods of time because you don't guard it. We need to live our life on purpose. We need to, I'm not talking about the purpose-driven life by Rick Warren. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is that we need to guard our mind, guard our thoughts. The devil wants to make us unthankful and thankless. That's of the devil, being unthankful. Being unthankful is not being satisfied with what you have. Being thankless is not being thankful for what you're given. Have you ever met someone, maybe it's a kid, maybe like a cousin or something, or somebody you knew, or maybe it's a child you gave them. We saw some of this at Bus Family Christmas a couple years ago, and they got a gift, and, oh, that's not what I wanted. Here, someone else take it. I don't want it. Man, you know, especially if you spent time getting that, that really chaps your high, doesn't it? I mean, it just really, you're like, that's being thankless. Well, I didn't like it anyway, you know, that's not what I wanted. You know what? We can do that to God. You know, we ask God for an answer to prayer and we don't like it. So, well, that's not the answer I wanted. Being thankful, usually thank God that He answered your prayer, amen. Remember, God is not obligated to do anything for us. God is not obligated to answer our prayers, amen. He wants to because He loves us. You know, by the way, we need to remind some of our kids sometimes that we're not obligated to give them things. Amen. The Bible doesn't say, thou shalt give thy children birthday presents or give them Christmas presents. We do. Why? Because we love them. We want to give them something. But you know what? I've told my son this, is if you're not going to be thankful for what you're given, then guess what? You'll find yourself not getting much of anything until you can learn to be thankful for what you already have. And be thankful when you get something new, when you're given something, even if it is a pair of socks. Amen. Be thankful. It's one more pair you didn't have before. The devil wants to make us unthankful. Children, I want to tell you something. Here in America, you've been given a lot. You've been given a lot here in America. Too much, maybe. Been given so much. As a pastor, whether you're a parent or child, whoever you are, young or old, older, in order to stay thankful, we need to keep this principle called the BTF, the Biblical Thought Filter. That's what Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8 is. It is a filter by which we place all of our thoughts. Think of it as a great sieve. We have so many thoughts that are in our mind that come through. And you know what? We need to put a filter in there. We need to filter out all thoughts that don't fall under this category. Now, verse number 8, all these categories. Now, I preached the message on this. I don't have time to preach it all right now. But I just take a look at these things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Honesty. Amen. Honesty. Things that are true. Things that are honest. Things that are the truth. So we go to the Bible for that. What things are true. By the way, if you want to know what's true, don't turn on your television. Don't turn on your radio. Don't turn on the talk show pundit. Maybe they think they're telling the truth. Doesn't mean they are. Amen. Those are things that are true. All right, it's okay. Whatsoever things are honest, okay, mean equitable. Whatsoever things are just, goes along with honest. Whatsoever things are pure, Oh man, once we turn on the television, pure goes out the window. There are some things are that are, very few things. You can't even watch the news anymore without it being impure in a lot of ways. I tell you what, you know, because I look at news things and all these things, you know what, after reading this, every time I read this after I've been reading the news or something like that, and I think of this verse, the Lord brings it up. And so what did you just read? What you, I want, but I need to know what's going on in the world, right? We need to know what's going on. We live in the information age. Pastor, you don't understand, I got to know. Why? According to this, God says you don't. You don't need to know all the nasty, dirty things that are going on in this land. You don't need to know the dirty, nasty things that are going on in your neighborhood. You know they're going on. You don't need to read about them. Amen? Amen? We don't need to be reading about them. We don't need to be dwelling on them. You know they go on. You don't need to read about them. You don't need to read about the latest crime spree in Killeen. Trust me, there's a lot of them. You know what? All that, now, let me ask you something. Once you pick up the Killeen Daily Herald, by the way, you don't know if they're hearing the truth always there either. But anyway, so you pick up that and you read it and you sit down. Let me ask you a question right here and right now. Let's be honest. How do you feel when you finish reading that? Pastor, I feel so uplifted. I have such faith in God after I read that. No, but you know, you're depressed and you have a lack of peace. Why? You didn't follow the filter. This is how you keep your peace. This is how you keep your thankfulness. By doing this, honest things, pure things. Whatsoever things are lovely. Now, there are some things that we run across in the news that are lovely. You're going to have to search for a while. Good things that happen. Someone that went out and raised money and they gave to the poor kids over at the pastor. Does that count? Yes, that's a lovely thing. That's good. About maybe one per issue. Whatsoever things are of good report, meaning something that is worthy to be repeated. Amen? Something that you can tell good news, like the gospel. The good news of the gospel, we should want to repeat it. Amen? Jesus came to save sinners. That's a message we should repeat. But something that's of good report, not something that's going to bring shame. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. If you do, you're going to have thankfulness. You're going to have peace. Why? Because you're thinking on things that have to do with God. God is the author of all things that are true. Amen? He is the truth. God is the author of all things that are honest. Amen? God is the author of all things that are just. He is a great judge. God is the author of all things that are pure. Oh, man is hopelessly impure, but God is pure and holy. God is the giver and the maker and the source of all things that are lovely. God is the source of all things that are worthy of good report right here in His Word. I mean, amen, we are so excited when we have praise night and we hear the good report of what God's doing in people's lives. If there be any virtue, which comes from God. If there be any praise to God. Think on these things. These are the things, they pertain to God. Spiritual things. If you do, you're going to be thankful. You're going to have peace that passeth all understanding. If we did this, all ulcers would go away. Get rid of your anxiety medicine. Amen? Stuff doesn't do you looking good anyhow. Think on what God has done. The devil, the devil gets so much airtime, doesn't he? Everywhere. If you want to see something bad happening in Hollywood or in Washington, D.C. or in the world, you know who did it? The devil did. He gets all the media attention. How much time does God get? Oh, we need to be God's media system. Amen. We need to be given a good report, given praise to God. Amen. Something I've noticed, Pastor Harvey goes out about a lot. You know what he says? Jesus is wonderful. You know, it's amazing to see people's reaction. They get kind of taken aback. He just said that. And then some people say, well, yes. Well, some people, well, yeah, what are you going to say? Even lost people know that he is. Amen. And then there's some, oh yes, and usually there's some ladies there, oh yes, he is awesome, he is wonderful. Yeah, some people don't know what to say. Well, yeah, he is. That's giving praise, because he is wonderful. In order to stay thankful, this filters your mind. It throws out what does not need to be there, this filter, and it throws out every single thought of the devil, because the devil's thoughts are not pure. The devil's thoughts are not honest. He's a father of lies. Amen? The devil's lies, the devil's thoughts are not honest. They're not just. They're very unfair, very unjust. You know, whenever you think of someone, you think an unfair thought about someone, the devil gave it to you. Amen? You think some lie about somebody, the devil gave it to you. You think some lie about God and his word, and the devil gave it to you. And you know what? If you have this filter in place, you can get victory over the devil, because you said, you know what? If that type of thought, it's not godly. It's not right. And what do? We cast down imaginations. Anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and the devil definitely does that. And so what you're going to do is you're going to kick those thoughts out. I don't want that in my mind, dirtying up my mind, dirtying up my light, taking away my peace. By the way, when you get the peace of God, you never want to get rid of it. Amen. When you get thankful, you never want to stop being thankful. And being thankful is not just going around one time a year at the Thanksgiving table saying what you're thankful for. Thankfulness is an attitude every single day that you live, every moment, every time you pray, every time you talk to someone. You should be given a good report of what God is doing in your life. Are you missing Thanksgiving in your life? Look at what Paul says in verse number 9. Those things which ye have both learned. So here, the church at Philippi, they had learned these things of him. And received, meaning they learned and received, meaning they understood. They applied it. They received it. They didn't reject it. Said, this isn't truth. He said, no, this is the truth. They received it. And here, well, here, watch now very closely. And heard and seen in me. They learned them. They received them as truth. What is that talking about? They heard Paul be thankful. They heard Paul. He had a testimony of following exactly what was written here. So you've heard me be thankful. You've heard me be thankful for the amount of times I was beaten for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You heard me give praise. You heard me give everything that follows verse number 8. Everything that was honest and pure and just and virtuous. You heard me say it. And you saw me do it. Not only heard me say it, but they saw him live his life and they saw him do it. They saw him be thankful. They saw him have peace. Amen. It's real. It's real. Oh, we shouldn't walk around with a scowl on our face. Be thankful you're alive. Be thankful, even though maybe you're in pain, you're not feeling well, be thankful you have another day to live for Jesus Christ on this earth. Be thankful that you have a family. Be thankful for those that are in your life. Be thankful for this church. Be thankful for God. Be thankful for Jesus Christ. Be thankful for the Bible. You think on these things, you'll have peace. Think on these things. Meditate on these things. Let these things consume your thoughts. It'll change your life. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your perspective, how you view things. Oh, many times people that are unthankful, they view everything that's bad as a curse. Well, this is because of the fall. Yes, I understand there's terrible things that happen in this life. I get that because of sin. I understand that. But there are, when things happen to us and things, you know, and I mentioned this a couple times in the last couple of weeks. I'm going to mention it briefly. For Tortured for Christ, I mentioned this. I'm finishing up the book. It's amazing to me, person after person, they were imprisoned and they were beaten because they were Christians. You know how many times they would sit and they would praise many times before the firing squad? Dear Lord, thank you. I'm able to suffer for your cause and for your sake. In a small way, suffering what Jesus did for us on the cross. They're thankful. And they kind of say, you guys are nutty. And they didn't understand it because their perspective was different. Our perspective is to be higher than this life. If your perspective is higher than this life, you're not going to live for the things of this life. You're not going to have an attitude of unthankfulness toward things. Well, I'm just going to get more and more stuff, more and more things than your perspective is here. It's not in heaven. It's not with the Lord. I check and see if you're saved. Some people that do that, they live for nothing but the materialistic things. I would check and see if they're really saved. Some people, I believe, are. But you know, like Brother Benda said, a lot of people that say, well, I'm saved, I still live the old life. That's not an evidence of salvation. Amen. If you're saved, you're saved from the old life. Saved from the old things. The old things are passed away. Gone. We can be thankful for that the old life is gone. Amen. We can be thankful for that. Be thankful that we're a new creature. So tonight, do you have peace? Do you have thanksgiving? So no, Pastor, it's missing. Missing thanksgiving. Place it into your prayer life tonight. Maybe there's some things you need to come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness for not being thankful for. Maybe you've complained and grumbled. Oh, look at the children of Israel. They had a perspective and attitude problem. If you look at the journey, when things were going good, their attitude's great. When things went bad, in their mind, in their eyes, or the things got a little too close for them, a little too hot for them, the shave was a little too close, then they began to grumble and complain. It was better for us back in Egypt. It was better for us back here. Oh, they could not see. You know, that lack of perspective, that bad attitude, well, that'll blind you to what you have. It'll blind you to what you have. It'll blind you to what God has given you. It'll blind you. You won't see it. So sad to see, and I've talked to many people in this condition, that they're just depressed and overwhelmed. And what's good about my life, Pastor? Well, and by the way, saying you're alive doesn't help because, well, so why can we be thankful that I'm alive so I can live this miserable existence? And no matter how hard you try to get them to see what God has done for them, they don't see it. So sad. Devil's blind to their eyes. That they cannot see. They don't see what God has done. They just see everything toward their perspective, that of here in this miserable existence. I'm telling you what, if you put your perspective and your viewpoint here on this earth, you're going to be disappointed every single time. Disappointed every single time. You're going to have no peace. You're going to be miserable. Instead of you could be having peace and joy and blessing in your life if you would just look up in the perspective being higher than yourself, higher than this world, higher than your circumstances, higher than all things, because God's ways are not our ways. And we can be thankful for that because we see all that is in man is not a good thing. Thankfully, God's ways are holy and just and honest. That's why we need to think on those things because those are God's ways. Be thankful for that tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this evening. I pray as we come before you in invitation, that, dear Lord, if we have been unthankful, if we have complained, if we have not seen the glories and the blessings that you have given to us, that we have forsaken the way because of we viewed things as bad, our perspective changed, our perspective was skewed, we believed the lie, we believed something that was not honest, we believed something that was untrue. But, Lord, we are so much indebted to thee for giving us the truth. And, Lord, you showed us where the truth lies. In your word, in a relationship with you, in prayer and in thankfulness. Oh, Lord, I pray that you give us peace, thankfulness in all that we have. Dear Lord, I pray that you would guide us and direct us in the invitation tonight. Oh, Lord, if our hearts have been unthankful, that we would run to you and confess our sin. And dear Lord, that we would go away rejoicing with peace in our heart and thankfulness in our heart that we can have forgiveness of sin and cleansing and set on the righteous path once again. Dear Lord, we ask thy blessing and thy power this evening in the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.